The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Bwedinyamite. God has destined for each and every one of us to live a life of purpose, a life of abundance, and a life that pleases Him. Dr. Michael Bwedinyamite's mandate is clear. He's equipped to raise destiny giants for our time, equipped with the wisdom and anointing for a time such as now. Please stay tuned in to Destiny Word.
How many of you are happy? You are ready for the Word of God? You're ready? You're ready. Amen. Did you come with your Bibles? Come on, lift it up and say, "This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I will become what it says I can become. I will go where it says I can go. I will achieve what it says I can achieve." Slap your chest and say, "I am a believer." Come on, say it out loud. Say, "I am a believer." Amen. Look at somebody and tell the person, ask the person whether he brought or she brought the invited guest. Before we get into the book of Exodus, ask your neighbor, "Where is your invited guest?" Where is she? Did you come with her? Engineer, where is your invited guest? You didn't come with your invited guest? All right, God punished the devil. All right, amen. Exodus chapter 17. I have my invited guest at the back. I won't tell you who they are. I'll tell you later on. Exodus 17. Somebody invited them, but I added a voice to it, and they came. It's good to add a voice once a while. You know that. It's really good. Exodus 17. Amen. Have you found Exodus 17, or are you still searching? Those of you that are looking for the book of Exodus in the New Testament, please switch to the old. You'll find it there. Exodus chapter number 17. I'm waiting on you. Reading from the Thundering Diction of the King James Bible from the verse number 8. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with a rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generations to generations." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide forever. We pray that you give us a word that works, O God. Anoint these lips of clay, make it an instrument, a vessel unto honor, O God. Use it as an instrument to bless your people. At the end of the day, if we walk out of this place knowing we had an encounter with you, we won't hesitate to give you praise. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Before you take your seat, I still want you to look for somebody and tell the person, protect your breakthrough. Come on, look for somebody else and tell the person, protect your breakthrough. Amen. Protect your breakthrough. Protect your breakthrough. Protect your breakthrough. Amen. Protect your breakthrough. Protect your breakthrough. We started the breakthrough series about 4 weeks ago, and I think this is the fifth time we are touching on it. We started by telling you that God ultimately is going to bring you breakthrough from unlikely sources. And I don't know how many of you have started experiencing it, but I strongly believe that in 2017, most of the breakthroughs that God is going to bring to you will come from unlikely, unexpected places. And let that be your portion wherever you are, that God will bring you breakthroughs from unlikely sources, even places that you don't even expect a miracle to come from. That will be the same avenue or place that God will bring you a miracle from. Hallelujah. And not only that, we also went on further to say that because it's going to come from unexpected sources or unlikely sources, it's going to also come without a notice. It means that nobody's even going to give you a wind of it. Nobody's going to tell you how it's going to come. By the time you realize when it's about breakthrough that comes from God, by the time you realize, it will be with you. Amen. Last week, we did how to protect your breakthrough. After God has brought you the breakthrough from unlikely sources, after God has brought you the breakthrough without notice, you need to also learn how to preserve the breakthroughs that God will give to you, because it is not so much about the ascension, it is about the dwelling. The book of Psalm 24 says that who shall ascend to the hills and who shall dwell? And so rising has never been a problem for people. Rising has never been a problem. Everybody can rise to stardom. Quite recently, in 2016, there is a hip life. I'm not going to mention the hip life for hip hop, whatever, the rappers. One of them in Ghana, hip life. A hip life artist was invited to a show, I think it's last year or last 2 years. And in the show, he did something very silly. The guy was rising to stardom, and all of a sudden, nobody wanted to even be identified with him. It means that rising has never been a problem, but staying risen is a problem. It means that even fools can rise, but it is your duty to stay up there, keep yourself up there, so that you won't be a byword. The most tragic thing in life is for people to look at you and say that he used to. Or she used to. She used to be a very blessed woman until now. She was a popular figure in the country, but until now, she was doing so well for himself or for herself until now. That story shouldn't be repeated, even in the ears of anybody that is yours or anybody that is close to you. It is not right. It is your responsibility to stay risen or stay elevated after God has lifted you up. It is not difficult to rise. It is not difficult at all. I told you last week that even fools can chance upon wealth, but it takes wisdom to sustain wealth. Anybody at all can rise. Anybody at all can rise to stardom. Somebody can even stumble on it. Somebody can get into it accidentally. Last year, there were noise all over the nation about a young girl from BA or so who had made certain utterances and had gone viral on social media, and then they wanted to use her in some of the soap operas and all that for comedy and all those things. And now it means that anybody at all can chance or stumble upon stardom or elevation or breakthrough. But it takes another kind of capacity. It takes another kind of effort to stay risen. There are people that went into ministry or that have been in ministry, and God lifted them up in ministry. God had exalted them. God had given them names in ministry. But now you can't even find them. And so it tells you that the problem is not about lifting. The problem is about staying lifted. Look at somebody and say, protect your breakthrough. Can you tap two people by your side, left and right, and tell them you need to protect your breakthrough? I strongly believe that there are people under the sound of my voice that God has given you stardom. God has lifted you. God has given you a name. God has given you a business. God has given you an enterprise. God has placed something in your hands. It is not so difficult to have it, but the most difficulty, the difficulty in that kind of endeavor is your ability to stay lifted throughout the days that God has given to you. And I strongly pray for you that God will give you the capacity and the ability to stay lifted, and that you will not fade out. You will not be a byword to your generation. People will not say that once upon a time she was lifted, but now it's no longer like that. Let God exalt your horns. Let God keep you lifted. Look at somebody and say, my God is going to keep me up. And in trying to do that, last week we tried to go through certain things that people ought to do. And one of the things that we said that you ought to do is to remain prayerful. You cannot stay lifted if you don't engage the supernatural. You cannot stay lifted. You cannot be up there if you don't engage the supernatural. And I'll explain. If you don't engage the supernatural in your pursuit to staying afloat or staying on top, The enemy will drown you. And that is what we explored last week. The Bible says that, and the man had gone to his field and sowed his seeds. And after he had gone to sleep, if you go into spiritual slumber, the enemy will come in and plant the wrong kinds of seeds in your field. And when his servants had come to him and said, "Master, is it not that you planted good seeds in your field? Why is it that we are finding tares amongst your wheat?" He didn't say the enemy has done this. He said an enemy has done this. It means that the enemy is a generic term, but everybody has an enemy. Everybody has somebody that is not really happy about where God wants to send you to. But they cannot do anything to you in as much as you stay vigilant and you are prayerful. I pray that God will ignite the spirit of prayer in the house, that you will not only be able to sit and watch TV and sleep and just go about your business, but whatever thing God has given to you, you will protect it through prayer. The Bible says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their lands." What God is saying is that I am still waiting on people who will not go out about talking about what they can do, but they will stand and pray and tell the enemy, "This is a no-go zone for you, no trespassing in my territory. There is no way you can touch what God has given to me." God is looking forward to people who can pray and say that, "Devil, this family has God given to me, and you have no access to my children. You cannot assess the spirit of my children. You cannot touch what God has given to me." And the only way you can do that is to stand and pray. David said, "They conspire, but I will give myself unto prayer. They talk ill about me, but I'll give myself unto prayer. They rise up against me, but I'll give myself unto prayer." For you to sustain your marriage, it is not about how well you make up or you make down. It is about how well you stand and pray. Because no matter how you dress, somebody dresses better than yourself. But if you stand and pray and seek the face of God and tell God that, "God, this is one person you gave me," and you tell God, "This is what you've blessed me with. No weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. And any tongue that will rise against you, God will condemn it for you." You have to stand in prayer if you are going to be able to defend what God has given to you. Some of you are destined for greatness, and yet when you try to take flight, the enemy brings you back down. It is just because you don't stand to pray. I came to pray for a few of you that let God ignite the spirit of prayer, that you'll be able to stand and pray as never been before. I'm still trying to walk you out of last week's sermon and get to why we chose this test, because it is not only about prayer that will keep you up there, but also you need strategic partnerships. It is your ability to know which people that are your strategic partners that will determine whether you stay up or you come down. It is not everybody who is destined for the top. And so you should be mindful which people you carry them to your mountaintop. Technically, we read the book of Matthew, and the Bible says that, and after Jesus had asked them to throw out or cast their nets, and he had had the catch and their nets were breaking, they beckoned or they called on their partners to come and help them. It means that anybody that is to come around you is supposed to help you to fulfill destiny. You don't need people that will come around you and sabotage divine agenda as far as your life is concerned. And I really pray for you, even as you go through life, that God will bring around you people that will push what you represent. Not people who come around you to take from you, but people who also give towards your cause. People that will push you to where God actually wants you to get to. May you get the spirit of discernment, that you know which people are for you. Can I preach to you like I feel it? Now the Bible says that, and when the man called Abraham was going to the mountain to sacrifice his son Isaac, he was going with his servants, but when they had gotten to the foot of the mountain, he told them, "Wait here." Because you see, in life, it is not everybody that is supposed to follow you to the top of your mountain. There are people that need to stay at the foot of the mountain. Not the top of it. Why? Because not everybody has the capacity for where you are going. Let God open your eyes so that you see which people really have that capacity to go with you. There are people who are coming around you. It's just for that short term, just short while. But God is bringing men and women around you who will be able to rally behind you to where God wants you to be. Can I speak to you? This is very important to me because it is mostly about the people we surround ourselves with. Oh, you would have been a great man, but for the people that will come around you. You are determined. The judgment, the definition of your life is normally situated in the people that you surround yourself with. It is the strategic partners that you get that determines whether you will rise and stay up, or when you rise, you come down. And so when the reason why prayer is important is because the more you pray, the more God reveals. And the more he reveals, the more you know. And the more you know, the more you make the right choices. The reason why we make wrong choices is because we lack knowledge. And we lack knowledge because we don't have revelation. And we don't have revelation because we don't stay in prayer. If people will stay in prayer, there is nothing that God will not reveal unto you. The reason why that man came around you, said all those nice things and gave you all those words, and your head was had swollen to abnormal levels, it was because you did not pray. When he came and he told you, "I love you, honey," you took it for honey's sake. But God would have shown you what was the intent of the man. Why? Because the spirit of the man knows no man but the man himself. But the spirit of God will be able to search and tell you, give you a diagnosis and tell you, the man that is saying he loves you is just telling you out of his mouth, but it's just a lip service he's doing to you. But in his heart, he loves another person, or his heart is following another. You will not be heartbroken. You will not have been heartbroken once and twice. Please, if you were heartbroken once, that's okay, because sometimes it's also good to make a mistake once in a while. If you were heartbroken twice, it can still be pardonable. But if it becomes three times, four times, it's becoming a pattern, which means that it is either you've not learned from your mistakes, or you've not gone back to your root to ask God, "What is wrong with me?" May God give you the spirit of revelation that you know which people you have been surrounded with. If you know the people that are around you, I can guarantee you that you will take a quicker trip to elevation and sustenance. Introduction. Everything that God wants to bring to you, he has placed it around you. But it's your ability to discover what he has placed around that determines what you get around. Because the things are, he's not going to create anything new. Before the foundations of the earth was laid, he has put everything in place, and so they are there. To discover means to remove the cover. And so discovering what God has for you simply means that things are there, they are covered. They are covered because your eyes are closed, or you are blindfolded. And until those blindfolds are taken off, or until you begin to see what is around, literally you'll be sitting around gold and not know you are sitting by gold. What God really wants us to understand is that the things are already there. But it is about the people who will come around us. If you don't have the right kind of people, if you are moving leftwards, it will move rightwards. It means that if you don't get the right kind of people, you will plan with them indoors and they will publicize it to the world. They won't know what is called confidentiality. If you don't have the right people around you, they won't even appreciate where you are going to push you to where you are supposed to get to. You need strategic partnership. I pray that in 2017, let God bring you strategic partnerships. Partnerships that will help you. Partnerships that will push you. Strategic. Look at somebody and ask the person, "Are you my strategic partner?" Oh, come on, look at somebody, tap the person on the shoulder. I know that he's looking all churchy, but tap the person on the shoulder and tell you, ask your neighbor, are you my strategic partner? God is taking me somewhere, but are you ready to partner with me? Is that something that God is laying on your heart to do around me? Because I don't think you are sitting by me on Sunday morning for nothing. There might be something God will want me to do for you. I might be the person that God really wants to use to push you. Ask your neighbor, are you my strategic partner? And in getting to today's sermon, you have to understand that I am talking about the two S's. I'm trying to see if I can finish the two S's today. But the first S that I want to talk to you about is the fact that in maintaining the level and the tempo and the kind of elevation God wants to bring to you, you need to understand what is called supernatural engagement. And I'm going to explain that to you in a minute. Because you see, if you read the account that we just read, if you go back a bit from Exodus chapter number 1, when God was taking them out, God had told them, I'm leading you out into a land that overflows with milk and honey. And God had told them all that they had gotten to a place that the Bible says that around them, obviously, on their right was the mountains, on their left was the mountains, behind them were the Egyptians that were breathing on their necks. That was the word that somebody had said that got him into trouble. But that was the same thing that was happening. There were Egyptians that were breathing fire and brimstone and threatening them and telling them that we're going to end your lives. They were going to kill them. That was the word that had come from the king called Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh had given that instruction, every soldier knew that the word of the king was law. It was a command. And so they had to go and execute what the king had told them to go and do. But the Bible says that when the mountains were on their left and the mountains were on their right, and behind them were these Egyptians, and in front of them was the Reed Sea, or the Red Sea, as you know. One writer said, and I quote, that the whole noise that the Christians are making out, or the people of the Bible are making out of the opening or the parting of the Red Sea, doesn't make sense at all, because they are saying that the depth of the Red Sea from the top level to the bed of the sea was 6 inches, they say. They say it was 6 inches. And so how can 6 inches, everybody can walk through 6 inches. Even if it had not parted, they could have walked through 6 inches. But little do they know that the critics of the Bible know that if God could drown a whole army through 6 inches with 6 inches of water, then it makes him even a mightier God than we had even thought about. Can I talk to you about something? That where God wants to take you to, whoever wants to follow you, whoever wants to get through, get to you and destroy because they have been assigned to do so, God will swallow them up. Whatever thing that God will have to do to ensure that he drowns them, God will. I was reading, and that writer said, it doesn't make sense that the Christians will make noise about the fact that God drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea because the depth was just 6 inches. I read it and I got excited, because if that is a critic saying, it means that the critic is even giving me enough ammunition to even adore and to go to the enemy's camp and tell them, do you know who my God is? Because with 6 inches of water can drown a whole chariot. You don't really understand the kind of God that you serve, I know. But that is the kind of God that we serve. Now the Bible says that, and when the God of Israel had done this for them, they had gotten to the place in the book of Exodus chapter 17. And when they had gotten there, the Bible says that they were complaining. They came to chide with Moses. And he said unto Moses, Moses, it would have been better if you had left us there. God has given us breakthrough. We have come out from the land of Egypt. We were in bondage, but we have breakthrough now. But we feel that where we were had variety. There were many things that we could enjoy rather than where we are. We are not really getting what we want. We want to even go back and serve them so that we can have varieties. We can enjoy. We will know that we have a place to lay our heads. And when they were chiding with Moses, Moses went to God and said unto God, God, how long is this thing going to continue? Won't you show yourself strong? And God didn't respond on that note. God said nothing to the man called Moses, but to tell him to go on the rock and smite the rock. In the book book of Exodus 17 so that he will get water out and feed the people because and quench their thirst. But the Bible says that afterwards, after God had done that, the enemy was not going to stop there. You know, the reason why you need to engage the supernatural is because when you go through the first hurdle and you jump over the first scale of defense that the enemy will place around you, what you have to understand is that the devil will go back and re-strategize and come back at you. When God had quenched their thirst, the enemy did not stop at that. But what he did was that he came back and re-strategized and came back to fight them with the Amalekites. But the Bible says that when the Amalekites had come against them and they were going to fight them, God had met the man called Moses and said unto Moses, Moses, I want to give you victory. Not only that, the victory I gave you from the hands of the Egyptians, I want you to be able to sustain it. But the only way you're going to sustain it is through your strategic partnership. That is what you talked about last week. Yes, because the strategic partnership is in twofold. You need to engage humanity and you need to engage the divine. What God was saying is that I want to give you victory, but I cannot fight the victory and sustain the victory without your engagement. What I want you to do, Moses, is that whilst the people of Israel go into the valley to fight the Amalekites, I want you to sit down, do not get up, sit and wait and see the victory that I'm about to give unto you, because that battle is not yours, the battle is mine. But I will need your involvement. You need to engage me whilst you are fighting that. He said unto God, God, what do I have to do? God said that as long as your hands remain up, I will bring you victory. In as much as you engage the supernatural, you will be given victory and you sustain it. I came to tell a few of you that from today, begin to engage the supernatural. What I mean is that begin to allow God to be God in your life. Some of you are doing things by your own merit and your own decisions, by your own logical reasoning and conclusions. You tell yourself that I have this MBA, this EMBA, this PhD, and because of that, I am wise enough to make this decision. The battle was not going to be won by the sword of the people. It was going to be given victory, was going to be given by God. But God was saying that I need your involvement. What God is saying is that in this 2017, the supernatural increase is going to come from two folks. I need you to participate in what I want to do in your life. God will never do for a man what a man can do for himself. And because of that, God was saying to you that I want you to keep doing what you can do, but allow me to be the God who does the almighty. Even though you are the least likely, allow me to be the almighty. What am I saying? God said unto him that what you need, bring me this chair, please. Bring me the chair. What God was saying to him is that get you a rock. And when you get the rock, what you need to do is to sit on the rock. But get two people who are your strategic partners. The people are not supposed to just be ordinary people who come around you and they go out. That when you are heavy and you are fainting, and when your strength is failing you, they will not be able to help you. But get yourself two people. Can I get two people? But get yourself two people. And what the two people will do is that because your hands are supposed to be up for the victory to be given, your strength will fail you. But you need men and women that will stand around you. In 2017, may God bring you men and women that when your hands are coming down, they will stand and hold your hands up on high. The Bible says that when his hands were heavy and his strength was failing him, the Bible says that what they did was that they held his hands up. That is to mean that God is saying that that strength of yours, that arm of yours, is not going to be upheld by your own strength. But I need people to stand around you that when your hands are tired, they will hold your hands up. May God bring you men and women in 2017 that when your hands are tired, they will hold your hands up for you, that God will bring you. Can I pray for you real quick? I have 5 minutes to push this sermon through, but may God bring you men and women who will be able to push the agenda of your life, that when your hands are tired. Are you ready? Are you ready to soak and tap from this? That men and women, there were people, not any other persons that were in the camp, but there were two strategic partners that God brought to the man called Moses, who was supposed to hold, so he was supposed to rest the weight of his hands in the hands of these people. God has given you a vision. May God bring men and women that will carry the weight of that vision that God has placed on your life. May God bring you people that will hold your hands up. But what do you mean, young man? I'm saying that in 2017, not only do you need the SP, the strategic partner, but you also need the SE, the supernatural engagement. Men ought to do their part, but God will also do his part. If we allow God to be God, there is nothing that he cannot do, because by him, with him, through him, all things that were made, and in him is life, and the life is the light of men. That light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. If we will allow God to be God in our lives, in 2017, there is no darkness that will be able to stop you from getting to where God wants you to get to. Can I preach to you like I feel it? There are things that God wants to do in your life in 2017, but the supernatural ought to be engaged. God was saying that I'm going to give you the victory. All that I want is that you need a partner to hold your hands up on high, but you sit and wait. Those that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like that of the eagle. I came to speak to a few of you that have been believing God for a miracle in 2017, that God is about to step in. He's about to show his strength in your life. The Bible says, and the Amalekites were defeated. And look at what scripture tells you. The Bible says, and God said, from today, I'm going to erect a seed of memorial that their generations will be cut off forever. What God is saying is that although I am using a man, I am working through the man to get my will to pass. May you allow God to be God. That you don't allow men to only play the role. You need strategic partners, that is true, but you also need God to do his thing. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, allow God to do his thing. Oh, can I preach to you for the next 3 minutes that I have? Say, neighbor, allow God to do his thing. I sense a new wave in this place. May God begin to do his own thing in your life. That God will order your steps. God will restructure your path. God himself. You need supernatural engagements. So not only do you need men, you also need God to step into the situation and be God. What he was saying to Moses is that, Moses, this battle, you can't win it when your hands come down. Why do you need my hands up? Because the moment the hands of a man is lifted, what the man is saying is that I've surrendered everything to you. That is why when the police wants to arrest, they are only sure sign that you surrendered is when your hands are up. So when they say hands up, not only do they want to see what do you have in your hands, they also want to know whether you surrendered to them. So God was saying that although your people are on the battlefield, I need you to surrender the battle to me. But sometimes in your quest to surrendering to God, your hands become heavy. Do I have some few minutes to push this? In your quest of surrendering, most of us, we have the will to surrender. Lord, I give it all to you. But you get to a place that the hands of surrender become so heavy and your strength begins to fail you, and you begin to doubt and you begin to question and you fall, you falter, you fail, and you do many things. And so most of us, our hands keep coming down. Although we want to surrender, our hands keep coming down. God is saying to me to tell a few of you that if your hands will remain up, you all that you have to do is to just watch and see the kind of victory God wants your hands to be up. But watch this. You can't keep your hands up all the time. No matter how superhuman you think you are, your hands will be heavy. God is fighting. He needs complete surrender throughout your journey. That's what it means. Complete surrender. As long as you remain alive, complete surrender. Hands up. As long as the battle continues, hands up. That's what God is saying. But am I going to be able to keep my hands up and not use my intellect to outwit, outsmart, navigate, and get my own way? Am I not going to do that? Those hands of surrender, at every point, it will be heavy. That is why, whilst God is fighting, you need strategic partners. The reason why I'm continuing strategic partners with supernatural engagement is because they go hand in hand. There is a role for God to play in your life, and there is a role too for men to play in your life. My prayer for you in 2017. Can we pray? Can we pray? So that I continue with the next S next week. I was supposed to do the two S's. Next week I'll do the two C's. You have to understand that the victory was given to them as long as his hands were up. When his hands were coming down, although they were giving victory, they were losing. So in sustaining, maintaining, protecting the breakthrough, his hands were to be up all the time. He was to engage the supernatural. Sometimes, not when it is convenient. In our inconvenience, there are people that are supposed to be around us. One of my masters that I did was in HR. And in HR or talent management, you staff your weaknesses. That is to say, that even the secular world knows that you won't be strong all around. There are places in your life that you'll be weak. But where you are weak, that is where you need people who are strong there to come and help you. It is only an insecure person and somebody who doesn't really want to go far, who only allows his kind to be around him. Whoever is your kind is at best a companion, not a destiny facilitator. Whoever is your kind. Because it's not bringing anything new. Oh, we click. Oh, we gel. Yes, you gel. Yes, you click. You have the same sense of fashion. Yes, you have the same sense and taste and desire. That's true. But you just photocopied yourself in your life. For you to get to where God actually wants you to get to, you need to bring people who are stronger where you are weak. When your hands, as Moses, are failing, you need people who tell you, in this your weakness, I am strong. The victory, your name is going to be on the victory, but I'm ready to hold your hands up.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been blessed with Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Boydi Nyamiche. You are cordially invited to the Maker's House Chapel International, Kwabena, off Point 1. Join in on any of our services, Sunday Word, First service, 7 to 9 a.m. Second service, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Teaching service on Wednesdays, 6:30 to 8 p.m. And our flagship program, The Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. For more information about this ministry, call 0244-221-272 or 0262-731-570. Or visit our website, www.themakershousechapel.org. We believe in the Word in totality and the light it brings our path to experience the grace to take territories and fulfill destiny. God richly bless you.